When it comes to home improvement, sometimes you need a pro, but sometimes you just need a little advice from a pro. Now, back to Rosie on the House.
My heart just can't help but go out a little bit to that guy fixing a sewer line on a beautiful Saturday morning like this. Kind of turns your nose up just thinking about it, doesn't it? But that's what we're here for.
On the reverse side of it, would you rather be fixing it on a day like today or when it was 112?
Or on Thanksgiving.
Or on Thanksgiving.
With everyone there.
Or when it's freezing, ground temperature. So
that's true.
I guess, you know, if you want to look on the bright side, if there is one in that story, it's the perfect weather to be outside. And if he gets it done today, he ain't got nothing to do tomorrow.
Should be done for a good long time.
Get his day of rest in.
Y'all heard the promo for the Rosie Santa Bag. We'll be doing that a little bit later in the show. We've got our Rosie certified partners have all contributed great gifts. Put it in a Santa bag, and every Saturday between now and Christmas, we'll be reaching in that bag and allowing you to dial in and win whatever it is that we pull out. So y'all stay tuned for that. We'll be doing a little bit later in the show. He's speaking about cleaning septic lines. You know, Ben Franklin Plumbing sent out a notice of the holiday season about the proper way to take care of your garbage disposal. You know, if people would read their owner's manuals, and I never have, but they tell me if you would read them, it says you should actually run the water for up to 30 to 60 seconds after you turn the disposal off with cold water. One of the biggest problems the plumbers see when they're out there trying to unclog kitchen sinks is a bunch of improper things being put down the garbage disposal. Vegetable peels don't work. Fat, grease, bones don't work. All great products for getting your lines clogged up. Allow the grease to cool in the container. Scrape it out with a spoon and throw it in the trash can. Don't send it down the sewer line, because what happens is you wash it down the line and it cools laying in the bottom of that line, and then it's sticky. It's just like that Bird Tacky Foot, the product we were talking about. Everything that now tracks over that pool of grease laying in the bottom of your pipe just starts stacking up one after another and building up a clog. So keep the grease out of the garbage disposal, and be sure you run plenty of water when you're running the garbage disposal, cold water, 30 to 60 seconds after you turn it off. Keep the water running. With that little tip, let's go down to Oro Valley. We said people could call in from all over the state. We've had Pima County, we've had Maricopa County, Sun City, and now we've got Helen in Oro Valley with one open line for you, 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning. We're going to buy a new house. Well, it's not a new house. It's an older house, and it's going to need a new water heater.
Okay.
And we're thinking of putting in one of the heat pump water heaters.
Okay.
Just wanted to know what your thoughts are, and would you ever put one in your house?
I would. What I might look at before I do that is either one of the solar water heaters or solar and heat pump combination units, depending on what your budget might be. But solar water heaters provide free hot water. The heat pump water heaters provide very low cost hot water. They're high efficient. They work well. Heard some good things about them. But in my house, you ask what would I put in my house? At my house, I would probably just go with a simple solar system.
And this house is totally electric.
Okay.
Can you put one of those heat pump water heaters, like, inside the house where you have your washer and dryer?
Well, a lot of times that's what they do, and the excess heat actually serves as a supplemental heat to the room. The way it just depends which one you're looking at and how it's designed to operate. But that's one of the reasons it's rated so efficient, is because not only is it producing heat for your hot water, but there's actually taking the heat and creating a warming effect as like a radiator inside whatever room it's sitting in.
What would you recommend for Tucson area for solar hot water if you were looking into that?
Well, in your neighborhood, I would just call the solar store, Catherine Kent and Kevin Krause. Give them a ring and have them come out and take a look at it and give you an estimate for going solar on that particular property. The solar store, Catherine's been down there for years. She's, I tell people all the time, she's forgotten more about solar than most people who are call themselves solar installation guys even know.
She was solar when solar wasn't cool.
That's right. She's got a list of engineering degrees as long as your arm. She's a real specialist in getting, if you want to get all the way off the grid, she can take you there. Wind power, solar power, whatever. Or she can get up there and just simply provide you with solar water heat as well. But once you have that installed, it basically provides you free hot water for life.
322-5180. 322-5180. And we're going to have them on coming up in the spring. We've talked a lot about solar and that you're still tied into the grid, and then if your power goes down, even though you have solar, you're down too because it's tied in the grid. Well, they now have a solution for less than $7,000 that can be retrofit onto those applications. It'll keep you on power even if the power company's off, because a lot of people think that, well, I get solar panels, I'm off the grid. Well, that's really not how 90% of them work.
Goes back to that question of whether you're testing a particular circuit to determine if you have power or not. Y'all think about it. If the power goes out in your neighborhood and you have a solar generator and it's still producing power and it's sending it into your panel, that means it's also backfeeding it down along the lines. And the guys that are getting ready to pick those lines up want to know that they're very, very empty and nobody's backfeeding power. But that is a common mistake. A lot of people that think they get solar power, they think I'll be able to survive through a power outage. But in fact, you're no way. It isn't going to work. What have you got in the way of our digital newsroom, bud? Well, we've got our call screener, Jennifer, taking the next couple calls, 1-888-767-4348. There's an open line if you'd like to jump in right now.
Cheryl writes in and just wanted to let us know that we had talked septics earlier, and we had given Woods Plumbing for the Southern Arizona. She's in Queen Creek and said A American Septic came out and did a great job getting ours back going. They had moved on to a horse property that had been vacant for a little while.
And
that's something a lot of septic systems don't like to be, is
dry.
Yeah. So they got it back up and running and wanted to thank us for that. Thomas writes in. He wants to know where to take his Mexican rustic pine furniture to get it restored. And we've got a great partner in South Phoenix off of Thomas and Grand area. Actually, farther south than Grand and a little east. But they're on Thomas Road. Irwin's Furniture Restoration. They hosted a Rosie on the House partner mixer there earlier this fall. Big warehouse. They do some incredibly beautiful work. Any kind of furniture restoration, start with Irwin's. Then June writes in and says, I've got a 1959 burnt adobe brick home. It's in good shape, but it was suggested that I put stucco with R5 insulation over the brick, and she wants to know if that's a good idea. And
what do you
my
think?
Question
there's,
back to
there's
her
There's pros and cons. What
is,
do you think? What would you recommend?
Was she looking for a solution, or did a stucco salesman just come along and say, hey, this is what you should do? I would guess she was probably looking for a way to increase her R value. And I would probably tell her not to do that.
Okay.
If she has a big exposed area on the south side that's not the street view, probably a pretty good way to increase your R value if that's what you're looking for. But I would not cover up that burnt adobe. That's such a unique look. It's such a southwest look. It's such a wonderful, beautiful look. Why would you cover that up with stucco that now you're constantly going to have to be painting?
And if it is true, burnt adobe, then it's a pretty low maintenance. You know, it's a lot of people use that term interchangeably with red brick and everything else. But if it is true burnt adobe, it's near zero maintenance. You put the stucco on the outside. That's called outsolation. It's actually pretty effective. And R5 on the outside of the wall is the equivalent of about an R10 inside the wall. But then you're applying the stucco, and now you've got a surface that's going to need to be repainted about every 5 to 7 years. So in your mind, if you could give up the space inside, you'd do a little 2-inch fur out inside and do a spray foam insulation and go over that?
Absolutely. Keep that natural look on the and even if it's not true burnt, if it's red brick or slump block or whatever, any of these great brick buildings, when I see people stucco and paint over them, I just think you just took a non-maintenance surface and created maintenance. And every bit of maintenance it requires time and money. Why would you do that?
It's tough. It's really tough.
So don't do it. Insulate the inside. If that's not an option, then I would plant a trellis outside. I would install a trellis outside and plant some kind of vine on it. And if it is a south wall and you want the sun exposing it, then make sure it's an evergreen. Grapes are a great option for that. And so now you've got something you can eat in the summer.
The other thing I'd want to know from her is what has she got in the way of a window package? Because putting in a lot of that additional insulation on the outside walls, if heating and cooling is the dilemma she's trying to take care of, then we probably need to take a look at those windows, because chances are in those burnt adobe structures like that, generally they're steel frame windows, single pane clear glass, and those are as big a problem for heating or cooling, keeping the house comfortable, as the exterior masonry walls could be, for sure.
Bridget writes in, and she has been told by a plumber that she can install a descaler as an option to a water softening, wouldn't have to do salt. Is this true? Well, Bridget, first thing, there is a time and a place for a descaler, but it will never replace a water softener. So just understand that. If you're installing a descaler to get a warranty on a tankless water heater, that's a good investment, because the descaler is cheaper than replacing a non-warrantied tankless water heater. But it is not a replacement for a water softener. So just make sure you understand what you're purchasing and what you're purchasing it for. It is not a replacement. Keep the water softener if you already have it. And she was talking about one of the selling points. She doesn't have to worry about adding salt. And yes, I'm a no-maintenance kind of guy, but it's just impossible to get softened water without a water softener. And what do you have to add salt every 6 weeks? That's 4 times a year. 6 times a year, that's not a whole lot of maintenance.
I think the important thing about any water treatment at all is I'd like homeowners to know that, look, we've done the research on it. There's a bunch of bad information out there on it. Go to the Rosie Certified Water Treatment Specialist. And if any equipment you're looking at doesn't carry the Arizona Quality Water Association seal, we say, don't buy it. More when we get back. Gene calling from Tucson, and you as well. 1-888-767-4348.